Okay, so we begin Hilchos Mila tonight. So the first, we're in Siman Reish Samach. We can start in the tour. There's Shulchan Aruch is not much there, and I'm almost like wondering if this was like really the design. Well, I guess the tour was has there's more to it in Reish Samach, Reish Samach Aleph, but in the Shulchan Aruch there's not much there from either one. So in Siman Reish Samach. So the tour really is where it says mitzvah asei l'chol adam yisrael sheim moles b'no. So it's a mitzvah for everybody to give a bris to their son. V'gadolu hi mishar mitzvah asei sheish b'tzad karis. And this is a greater than. It sounds like all the other mitzvah aseis, because there is a punishment for mila. Mila is unique in that it's one of the two mitzvahs that there is a punishment if it doesn't get done. Now, when exactly and how exactly is that punishment? So that will hold off a little bit on. Korban Pesach. Right. And both of them are also unique in that there's a makeup. There's a makeup of the Korban Pesach. And in essence, there's an, well, depending, we'll see how it breaks down in terms of a machlokas. If there's a makeup, when exactly did you violate the mitzvah's ase of Mila? So hold on to that. So the Gadnik Sholosh Esrei Brisos Beparshas Mila. And you would also be cutting separate, there's also 13 Brisos that are made up in the Parsha of Mila. So that's in the in Parshas Lech Lecha, when it describes the mitzvah of Mila, so the word bris is mentioned there 13 times, not all within the context of Mila, but the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Dharan that talks about how wonderful and amazing and important the mitzvah of Mila is, and one of the things is that there's 13 brisos that are connected to Mila. The lo nikra Avram shalim machinimol, and Avram is not called complete until he has a bris, who was chusa nikras lo bris al nesinas aris, and in the merit of that bris, that's why he was given the land. V'hi matzelis medina shel gehenim, kol sharan chachamim, she'avram avinu yoshev v'pischa shel gehenim, v'einu maniach lichanispo l'chol mishanimol. And they wouldn't allow anyone to go in there for anybody who had a bris. U'mu'usihi ha'orlish nizganu ba'hagayim, and it's considered mias, it's considered disgusting to have the orla, which the goyim have, ki kol goyim arelim, that the goyim are known as being arelim. V'chol hamefer briso shel Avram Avinu she'enu mal o shemoshech olah. So anybody who denies that bris of Avram Avinu, that either they don't get a bris or they reconstruct their orla, afa pi sheish biyadu Torah ma'isim tovim ein lo chelik yolam haba. Even though he has Torah ma'isim tovim, he did good things, he does not consider to have a portion in the world to come. Which is okay. We'll have to see about that. I mean, the act of I don't think there's an isser in the Torah of pulling, of reconstructing the orla. So, what exactly is that prohibition? We'll see if we come across. We'll see if we come across more of that. Okay, but that's the gist.
Sounds like something from the Rambam. Much of it. I have a few.
You mean you think that's a quote from the Rambam?
Much of this whole section.
I think the next part is, and it's Reish Samach Aleph is very much from the Rambam. So we could just go to, let's skip to Reish Samach Aleph. Reish Samach Aleph is Av Chayv Gemolos B'no V'lo Isha Es B'na, that a man is obligated to give a bris to his son, not a woman for her son. U'miyu Einul Chayv Karis Im Lo Yamu, but he's not Chayv Karis if he doesn't. She'in Bakaris Ella Ba'oral Atzma. The only one that has a punishment of Karis is the boy himself. So even if the boy dies before the bar mitzvah, it's not the father. The father has the mitzvah to do. It's a little vague what this is, as we'll see. But it's a little vague, the father's care. The father sort of has first dibs to do the bris for his son. I think that's the way to understand. That the boy is the one who's not going to be cut off. He doesn't have the bris done. So lo malu chayvin basin lamolu. And if he doesn't, meaning the father doesn't do the bris, then basin has to. Lo malu basin, if basin doesn't, so chayv lamol sasos. Then he's obligated to do himself. L'cheshiyagda, when he gets older. Vim lo mal, and if he doesn't, then he chayv karis. So Kasava Rambam, the Rambam says, Ein malin b'no shel adam shalomi daito, that one is not permitted to step in and give the bris to another person's son if he doesn't know about it, unless Elim Kain aver v'nimna l'mula, unless he's not doing it. If he's not going ahead and doing the bris, so then someone else could step in, not necessarily with the permission of the father. And as soon as the father indicates that he's not going to be doing it, so someone else should step in and do it. Shebeisin malin oso bal korchov. Nis'almu beisin v'lo maluhu. If beisin stays away, he doesn't do it. Chayv l'mula. Has got to do himself. And every day that he goes by, after he gets older, he's denying the mitzvahs aseh. But he's not going to be chayev karis until he dies. In the Chi of Karis, this is from the Rambam, the Chi of Karis is if you die without having a bris. Now, it's a little odd, because Karis... Right. Oh, very good. And he's considered Aril B'mezid. So the Eini Yodeya, says the Torah, Lama Eino B'Isser Karis B'chol Yom. What do you mean? Well, you'd be chayv in Isser Karis every day. Shiyavur. V'chein Kasav Raivin. That's what the Raivin held. V'chim Yishum Hasra Safik Potron Oso Min HaShemayim. Says, why wouldn't you be chayv every day? Because it's Hasra Safik. I mean, Hasra Safik is a technical term used to say that you can't punish somebody for their... if they're violating a din, if they're still able to correct it, or if you're not really sure if they're going to really stay with that prohibition. So it has a lot of ramifications. So here, what is Hasra Safik? Meaning the guy could go ahead and get the bris, and it'll take care of it. So the Ravid points out, but that's only Midini Adam. That's only a based-in issue. That's only something based on our limitations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't bound by that. So therefore, so says the Ravid, you're Chayiv Karis every day. So that's known as the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid on this issue. So if you look in the Beis Yosef,
the Machlokas, the Rambam.
Well, the Beis Yosef spells out the Machlokas more. Okay, so the Beis Yosef right here, we're next to us. So he says, right, Taimo Enu Chayv Lamos Bekitzer Shanim, right, that you're not going to get death in shortened days. Shu Min Echa Mikaris, which is one of the aspects of Karis. What's the other aspect of Karis? That sounds like you're cut off from Klai Yisrael somehow. So Lefi Shelo Avar Adayin Al Mitzvah, because you haven't yet violated the mitzvah. Sharebi Yadu Lamol Esatzmo Achiyamos, because it's always in your hand to get the bris until you die. V'hu Arel B'mezid, and then he'd be an Arel B'mezid. Only then, V'az Yischayv Karis. Then you're going to be Chayv Karis Lenefesh. What does that mean? You're going to be Chayv Karis at that point. So whatever the other part of Karis is, I mean, you're not going to have shortened days, because you always have the ability to do it. You're not going to be Chayv Karis until you're dead. Oh, after the Hachikamar, Eino Mischayv Lamos Bekitzer Shanim Achi Yegiya Shaiso Lamos, until you reach the time that you're going to die. V'mu'az Adayin Arel B'mezid Yamos Bekitzer Yamim. And if at that point he's still an Arel B'mezid, then you're going to have this Kitzer Yamim. So then the days are going to be cut shorter. I don't know how you figure that out, right? I don't know. But that's what the Rambam says. So Vidasa Raivid, Shemi Yom Shagado Lo Mal Hu Chayvan, you chayv right away, Lamus Bekitzer Shanim. Elish Imal, but if you get the bris, so Niftar Meha Chiv. So then you're exempt from that Chiv. I mean, the Chiv sets in, there's already an Isser Karis, and you can alleviate the Isser Karis by going ahead and getting the bris. V'zehu Shekasu B'chol Yom Omid B'Isser Karis, and that's what it's written when it says that every day you maintain this Isser Karis. Kolomar Roy Hu B'chol Yom Li Karis. Every day you could you're hafker. Every day you could be cut off. V'lamos B'Kitzer Shanim. Da'afal Gav D'Dami Lo Osad Davar She'efshar She'yavo Lidei Chiyuv Adayin Lo Ba Lidei Chiyuv. Even though it seems to be comparable to something that leads to an obligation, and yet it hasn't yet led them, meaning the end time has not yet yet ended. Shiny zeh shebechol yom overhu, that you have violated the Isser every day. V'vaday al mitzvasto shel makom b'afal pisha inu mischayv karis legamrei mikol makom b'Isser karis hu omid bechol yom v'roy lekaris, that every day you're going to be chayv karis. So that's, and it gets into Hasras Safik issues. That's the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid. In the Minchas Chinuch,
the Rambam doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Well, if you consider Karis that you're going to die earlier, yeah, that's how do you cheshbon that out? That's going to be difficult. But that's only part of Karis. The other aspect of Karis is that you're not, you're cut off from the Jewish people, whatever that means. So that part is still going to be in effect, right?
Or you're dead.
It's something to do with
this. No, but it's not just in this world, it's also the next world also. Yeah. Right. So there is a... So the Minchas Chinuch does discuss a little bit. The Minchas Chinuch has a lot to say about the mitzvah of Mila. What? It's still right in the beginning there. And... is that? Yeah. So he quotes the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid. He says Avaladas. He quotes the Rambam and Ravid. This is in all the way at the end toward Chafvav. He says Avaladas Ravid. The Efshalim to Mikomak came to Avar Isser Karis after Nifar Achrach Lo Mahani. He says, well, wait a second. You could say that okay, you're Chayiv Karis every day. So even though you might be exempt afterwards, you still maybe the tshuva doesn't work. You violate Isur Krisus, Divin and Shuv of Yom Kippur, and Visur Mechaprim. So just getting the Bris Mila doesn't work. Right? You need to also do a Tshuva aspect, and maybe Yom Kippur as well, in order to alleviate that. That's a possibility. Al Kopanim Ladas Arivid, Afim Nenas Lebat. So he also quotes the following nafgamina. What about if you pushed off getting the mila? You didn't do it. And then towards the end of your life, so then already at that point you're an ones. You're not able to do it anymore. So what are you chayiv kares under that scenario? So he suggests that's a nafgamina between the Rambam and the Ravid. That according to the Rambam says that you're not chayiv kares until the end, I mean like the moment of death. And at the moment of death, you were an onis, you couldn't go ahead and do it. So if you're an onis, you couldn't go ahead and do it, so you're not going to be chayiv kares anymore. He says, however, according to the Ravid, afim nenas lebesof lomal mikol makom chayiv kares. But every day went by already before, you already were chayiv kares. Ki amila havi rak tashlumin, because the meal that you get at that point is like tashlumin, it's like the makeup. It's like you daven two shachrises or two musafs, two minchas in order to make up for missed tefillah. So he suggests that that's a nafkamina between these two positions. Fine. So that is sort of setting up it's a big mitzvah. That's sim reish samach, reish samach aleph. If you don't do it, then you're going to be chayav kares. So in the Shulchan Aruch itself, it shares a little bit more. Gives you a little bit more to discuss. So one is not so much in Siman Reish Samach, although in the Nishpas Avram quotes a major issue here in Hilchos Mila. I'm not sure where else he would put it. In Hilchos, and so Siman Reish Samach, Sif Aleph, Mitzvahs Aseh La'av L'mul Esvina, that there's a mitzvah, positive mitzvah, for a father to give a bris to his son, V'gedola Mitzvah Zu, Mishar Mitzvahs Aseh. And this is a greater mitzvah than other mitzvahs Aseh. So, not much to say, except the Nishmas Avram here, I was actually having a conversation just last night with one of the Tamid Chachamim in the community, who pointed out that he, like, Nishmas Avram just sort of sticks things in various places, and you're not, like, if you want to find a discussion that where the Nishmas Avram has someplace, it's not always the easiest to find. He gave me some wild example of this, but so this is maybe an example of that. Where in Hilchos Mil would you find this halacha? But it is an important halacha that does come up, and that is meaning Av Lamel Espino. So he picks up on the word Espino, his son. When is the child considered the father's son? So this comes up today with regards to artificial insemination and with in vitro fertilization. Is that considered his son? So the answer is yes. That son is considered, if it comes from the father's sperm, that boy is considered the father's son for all purposes. And it seems like there shouldn't be any difference when it comes to Bris Mila, except there is a Rabbeinu Chananel. I don't know how, like, everyone found this Rabbeinu Chananel. This is one of these laid dormant for hundreds of years. Like, who is going to worry about this? But there's a Rabbeinu Chananel that appears in Maseches Chagiga, where it talks about a woman who was impregnated in a bathhouse. However that could possibly be, right? So nobody knew when in the world this was talking about until we got to the last couple of decades, where it came to be that women could be impregnated without having without a sexual act. So the Rabbeinu Chananel makes this suggests there that the pasuk in Tazria, when it right there is the mitzvah is described in Parshas Lech Lecha, and then it's also
some famous rabbi there. I think we learned it in Gemara San Pedro that somebody was
Ben Sira.
Yeah.
Ben Sira is Yirmiyah. There's a story about Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah was in the legend of Yirmiyah that he was in the bathhouse and he was sort of accosted by people, and there was some of his zera got out, and that's how Ben Sira came to be. That a woman came in afterwards and was impregnated in that way. Yeah, that's alluded to in this Gemara as well in Maseches Chagiga. So he picks up the pasuk says the Berel Bnei Yisrael Mori Ish Ki Tazria V'Yalda Zachar. Isha, kitaz riyavad yalda zachar, right? A woman conceives and gives birth to a male. So he said, and then, v'tamashi vas yamim, kimei nidastav tatitmo, v'yom hashmini imol basar aleso. So there seems to be, a connection to a woman being mazriya in a regular way, and two, that she becomes tamei for 7 days. So, there seems to be some connection between those two ideas and the fact that there's going to be a bris on day 8. Right? So so Rabbeinu Hananel suggests that a woman who is is impregnated in this unusual way, that would be considered miraculous, and therefore not considered a natural state of Ishaki Tazria, and therefore maybe the child would not be obligatory for the child to have his bris on day 8. Okay. Well, you know, so what's the big deal? Let's still give the bris on day 8. So that comes up when? If the day falls out on Shabbos. So people point to this Rabbeinu Hananel and say that that if a woman is impregnated in an unnatural way, so maybe the bris would not be on Shabbos. So do we paskin like that? So here in the Mishpas of Ram, he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman as saying that, yeah, based on both of these aspects, that could be the idea of a woman becoming tamei might also not be if the zera was conceived in an unnatural way. And the idea that a woman who doesn't become tamei will not have a bris on the 8th day, that we actually have a Beferish Halacha that has been around for a very long time. And that is if a child is born by way of C-section. So the baby is not born, the bris would not be on Shabbos or Yontif if there is a C-section. This question kind of came up recently. I don't want to say how, but there is a discussion about if you have a bris that should be on the second day of Yontif, there's a C-section, and there's an Israeli in town. We have the Israeli do the bris before Hesia on the second day of Yontif. Mm-hmm. That's the for a C-section. I think he actually might be in the Nishmas of Ram someplace. That might be where I saw it. So anyway, so the Nishmas of Ram quotes this idea, and quotes Shlomo Zalman as saying,
"Can't get hold of the issue, but whether an Israeli should be holding 2 days here and not one that."
Right. Oh, it combines like all different sorts of stuff. Yeah. He paskins not at the end. It's not a good idea. We shouldn't be publicizing those things. But anyways, so if a baby is born A, by a cesarean section, and B, if it's an A, artificial insemination baby, so Shlomo Zalman paskins that both of them would not have a bris on Shabbos, not because it's not the father's son, but just simply because it's lacking the requirements of the 8th day being Docha Shabbos. That's what he quotes the name of Shlomo Zalman. However, is including Pidyon HaBen, by the way. He says that he still would require Pidyon HaBen with a bracha. However, with the bris on Shabbos, he's doubtful, and therefore he wouldn't do it. So he quotes here that Rav Israel Arbach told him that his father-in-law, Rav Eliashiv, so Rav Israel is Rav Shlomo Zalman's son, who married Rav Eliashiv's daughter, right? So also gave the same psak when he was asked such a baby. However, he recently told me, this is now going back 15 years or so, however, more recently he told me that Rav Eliashiv changed his mind and now permits such a baby to have a bris on Shabbos. I'm not sure if it's now considered natural. It doesn't say what the reasoning is.
The in vitro fertilization. Yes,
I heard, right. The in vitro fertilization, that Rav Eliashiv changed his mind and said that the child could have a bris on Shabbos. He goes to Rav Avadia Yosef also saying that since the baby was born normally, meaning not by a C-section, the bris would still be on Shabbos. I remember when I took my Machon Pua course, which is also 15 years ago, Rabbi Willig said that, in such cases, I tell the parents to just say the kid was yellow and the bris is being pushed off. I mean, it's a very awkward thing. It's one thing to say I had a C-section. It's another thing to say, we're not having the bris on Shabbos because we had in vitro fertilization done. Right? So Rabbi Willig said he just tells them, say the baby is yellow and you're pushing off the bris for a day to the next day. Now, he says here it would be the same thing by whether it's IVF or a artificial insemination. IVF is a little bit further, so I actually saw today that Rav Sternbach holds distinguishes between the two. Yeah. He says in vitro fertilization could be considered a natural insemination, but if you're putting in the whole fertilized embryo, there you go. You're putting in a whole fertilized embryo, that would already be considered unnatural, and therefore you would postpone. So you have, three possibilities, yes, no, or maybe, in terms of these shilas about whether to have a in vitro fertilization of bris on Shabbos or Yom Tov.
Who's Rabbi Willing following?
I don't know if he's going on his own or if he was quoting Rav Yashiv back in the day, or I'm not sure. I don't remember. I just remember we had when I took this Machlon Pua course, we had a question and answer thing with him, and we asked him this shyly. He said, tell the parents that he didn't give his lumps. He just said, tell the parents to tell everyone the kids yell. That was funny.
You mentioned before that if it's not the father's, it's the father's sperm, but sometimes it's not.
Certainly yeah, yeah, okay.
So in that case,
I don't think that would change anything.
The father would still have the obligation to give him a bris. This goes back to the early part.
Oh, if it's not the father's son, it's not the father's son.
So he would no longer have the
son. It's quote unquote Beeston's responsibility. So what does that mean? That's Beeston's responsibility. That everybody, that anybody in Pesachim Teshuvah, as he points out, that doesn't mean Beeston per se. It just means it's the Jewish people's responsibility to make sure that the kid has his bris at his appropriate time. So, okay. So we did the Machlokas Ram and Ravid. We got that the Nishwas of Ram.
So when Tzipora gave...
A woman giving bris. So let's hold off on that. There is a hint to it here, but I don't think the sugi is here anyways. So we'll see in the next section. So Reish Samach Aleph Sif Aleph. So
back in the tour?
Back in the Shulchan Aruch itself.
Shulchan Aruch.
Okay. So it says, Im lo mal. So if the father doesn't give the bris, so then Basin has to do it. Im lo malu Basin Chayiv Hu. So he's obligated himself when he gets older to go and get that bris. V'im lo mal chayiv karis. And if he doesn't get a bris, then he would be chayiv karis. Fine. Okay. So comes along the Rama and says uvachol yom ovrim ba'unshin elu, that every day, which sounds like the passing like the Ravid over the Rambam, every day is in violation of these dinim. And the Gra points out against the Rambam. Right, the Gra points out similar to the prohibition of Baal Ta'achir, which is to going against the Rambam. Okay, ve'ein malin b'no shel adam shelo midaito, and you can't go ahead and give a bris to a kid without his knowledge, meaning the knowledge of the dad. Elim kain avar av v'lo malu basin, unless the father has passed it along, and Basin hasn't done Velomalu Basin, Malin oso Bal Korcho. So then you would give the kid a bris Bal Korcho against his will, whatever that means. So and then the next line is Veina Isha Chayves Lamos Bina. A woman is not chayiv to give the bris to her son. Now is she permitted to give the bris to her son? So not for now. Let's go to take a look in the Piskei Tshuva here. Very interesting Piskei Tshuva. The Piskei Tshuva says here, I am beheretiv v'shem shach with a sefer levushi. Piskei Tshuva, please.
Yeah,
we
got
it.
Oh, there, he's over on the left side.
Oh. Okay. So in the Piskei Tshuva here, he says, he quotes the v'shem, the Ayin Be'er Beis, Ayin Be'er Heitev v'shem shach with a sefer levushi srad, kasa v'shem Rav Yaakov Emden. The Hainu Kishav Atzmo Ratzalamo. Right? That's only, you can't go ahead and give it the bris to the kid against the father's will when the father wants to do it. But if the father HaMitzvah LaAcher V'Kadam Acher V'Asa Lo Mafkinamine. But if the father tells Moel A, I want you to give the bris, and immediately Moel B comes out of nowhere and goes and does the bris himself, so we can't take it away from him. What does this mean? How are we doing this? Ve'ein tzarech bazel lahab b'shem ma'arit dekin kasar ha'ma b'choshen mishpat sof simen shun pei beiz ayin sham b'sma uv'shach. What is this talking about? So there is an idea of having ownership over a mitzvah. And that's what's being applied here. There is a concept that if a person, the Gemara talks about this in the context of, that if one shechs a bird, so then there's an obligation of kisui adam. So if a person shechs a bird, and someone else comes out of nowhere and immediately covers up the dam, so he has stolen, quote unquote, stolen a mitzvah from the shochet. And the Gemara imposes a penalty of that called tenzehuvim, whatever coinage that is, that's the amount that's given. So that's when they talk about asara zehuvim or yud zehuvim, that's what this sugi is, that a person has the mitzvah and someone else comes and chaps the mitzvah and takes it away from him. So here, how are we assuming here? The father has the mitzvah and someone else is coming along and does the bris on the son. So he would be chayiv asara zehuvim. But if the father had already assigned someone else to do it, and another person comes along and does the bris, so he wouldn't be chayiv to pay. That's what's being alluded to here. Vayim etshuva zichro and yitzak simon kofches shakasa demisha haya rotzo lama lesbino b'shabbos. He says if somebody wants to give a bris to their son on Shabbos, he's going to do it to his own son. Uva acher umalu pater militein yud zehuvim. And someone else comes along in that case and does it, he'd be pater. Why? The hadas hara'ah. Who's the ra'ah? The ra'ah is one of the Rishonim. The ra'ah is like the believe it or not of the Rishonim. He's like somewhat of a, he seemed, at least from the perspective of somebody learning halacha, the ra'ah seems like the contrarian often, like the Rabbi Meir of the Rishonim. Heviyu hator lekamad simen reish samach zayin, de ein lanu la'av lamul espino b'shabes, im yesh acher, if there's somebody else, that the ra'ah had a shita, that we're going to learn in Simon Reish Samach Zayin, that a father shouldn't give a bris to his son on Shabbos if there's somebody else available to do so. Why? Because it's a psik reisha legabi didei. For the father, it's a psik reisha. Why? Because the father, mechavin letakin espino. The father has in mind that he's fixing his kid. What's the moel have in mind? The moel doesn't care about the kid. The moel cares about making sure the bris is done. So for him, he considered a destructive act. I think that's what he means. This guy could be considered mekalkel, right? He's just cutting off a piece of skin. But for the father's perfecting his son. He's going to be living with the kid the rest of his life, right? So he's making everything good. So that's considered a tikkun of the child. And therefore, for the father, it's a psik resha denichale, while for somebody else it would be considered a psik resha delo nichale. It would be considered something that that's not for his benefit. Now we don't paskin like that Rama. A person could say kimli. What is that concept? This is a big Chosha Mishra concept. If you've listened to headlines the last couple of weeks. No, kimli is a in monetary law, right? The halacha in monetary law, the key principle in monetary law is hamotzi mechaver olav araya, right? The person, if you want to take the money, so you have to bring a proof. So there's a concept that a person can always say, I'm not giving the money because I hold like, and he could dig up some shita someplace that he holds like. And Basin would be, could theoretically be stuck and say, well, we can't be motzi money from that guy because he holds like this. He could pull out shitas that he holds like. So the Piskei Tshuva here is saying, right, so when it comes to the Yud Zehuvim, right, somebody else comes and does the bris. So now I want my Yud Zehuvim. So the guy says, well, I'm not paying Yud Zehuvim. He says, well, you take him to Basin, right? And he's now going to have to chayv Yud Zehuvim. So the person could say, no, I hold like the Ra'ah, and I'm not paying the Yud Zehuvim. And Basin wouldn't be able to be motzi it from him. Okay? Venerally, however, just one more point. Venerally, dididon, in nafkusavazet. But we, for us, it's no nafkamina. Why? Because if you look up in Choshen Mishpat, there is a sif having to do with the Yud Zehuvim. There's so simen shin pei beis. The mizman hazeh in magbinosa. We don't collect Yud Zehuvim anymore. The bemidi delay spechisarum kiss, lo avdinan shlichusayu. What is that talking about? So the concept of us having but the din b'mizmanazeh, our smicha, b'mizmanazeh is not considered real, authentic smicha, right? Rather, it's considered this fake shlichosayim, messenger smicha, that we've been passed on. Yeah, you'll take care of the things you need smicha in order to take care of, but we're not. They don't give everything over. So what didn't they get? So they gave over the idea that we could judge damages in Beis Din, but they did not give over the idea that we could judge knassos. We can't judge fines. And Yud Zehuvim is officially a knass. Anytime you're taking money from another person, there was no damage, so that's a knas, right? That's a fine. So our batidim do not have the ability to impose knasos. So elidim tafas lo mafkin mini. But if a person grabbed it, if the father said, hey, give me those 10 zehuvim, and he grabbed it, it's in his possession, and the other guy says, hey, give me my 10 zehuvim back, he won't be able to take it back. Right? That's the chap at the end of, he would not be able to get it back. Because the basis says, well, it could be that you owed it. You have no proof that you'd be able to take it away from him. So al kain l'chadchila, b'lav hachi im magbin, afilu im haya b'chol. You shouldn't even take it, even if it's during the week. But if he grabbed it, if the father grabbed the yud zehuvim, so then even if it was from a bris on Shabbos, you would not be able to take it away from him.
So this is a case where somebody gave the mila, came in and gave the mila instead of the father.
Right.
Can the father get, wanted to do it, can the father get compensation?
Right. And then the second half of the Ruma.
So why is it... why is it even on weekday?
No, because we can't impose the Yud Zehuvim Knas on a weekday. So it's going to be... He's saying...
The Ra's opinion was like, you can't...
But it's a based in procedure, and it's a based in... That our Batidinim don't have the power to impose.
Oh, okay.
So it's always just going to be...
No matter what, whether it's the Shabbos or not.
Right, so he says whoever... But if the father went to grab the money, he'd be able to keep it, whether it was Shabbos or Yantif. I mean, Shabbos or during the week. And then the second half of the Ramah is also very interesting. He says, Avsheni Yudei Olam. Let's say the father doesn't know how to give a bris. Right, v'yesh kan moel she'ina rotzu lamel, and there's a moel who says, I don't want to do it b'chinam for free, rak b'schar, I only want to be paid. So yesh lebeistin ligar b'moel zeh. So beistin should force this moel. Ki ein zeh darkan shel zera avram. It's not the way of zera avram. V'adaraba ha moelim mahadrin sheyitnu lahem lamel v'im omed that the moelim should go and do the brisim. V'im omi b'marado v'ein yad ha'ish maseges latet lo scharo havi kamo she'ein lo av shebeistin mechayvin lamo. But if the moel is holding out for a price and people don't want to pay him, so then it's like, then the obligation falls on beistin. And beistin could then force the guy to do it. Beistin shechayvin lamo, they could obligate him to do it. V'lachin beistin kofen oso mi'achar she'ein achar she'imel. So then beistin could force him. So in theory, the parents could say, I'm holding out, I'm not paying him. Beistin comes, so the guy says, Moses says, well, I'm not doing it. Beistin says, well, if the father's not going to pay you to do the bris, the father is giving up on his obligation, in which case now it's our obligation to do it, says Beistin. So we're Beistin. We're going to go ahead and force you to do it against your will. That's what this Ramah is saying. So that raises an interesting question. Wait a second. Is there something? What's this business? Ein lo mizera avram. It's not like it's not appropriate to charge for brisses. So that seems to not be the minhag. Seems to be that people do charge for brisses. So the truth is, there are moelim, the Katzenstein family, at least. I don't know. There's now a whole new generation, but the ones who they have their own business. And they officially don't charge for bris, and they ask for a donation to some thing, and it's a nice donation, and they're supporting whatever institutions they're supporting off of the power of brisim that take place in, you know, mostly Washington Heights, Riverdale, and Teaneck and Bergen County, etc. So there may be, I don't know if it's based on this reasoning, but there is a the main heter for Moelim to charge. Is already going back to the time of the Rishonim, and that is based on the idea that they could be doing other things with their lives. I mean, it is a timely thing, a time-consuming thing to go and give bris. I mean, they, in theory, could be going into business. So it's already found that there is a Ravid that they quote in Hilchos Shavuos, which I didn't bring, but in the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos is talking about a person who says, I'm not going to get benefit from this tzibur. I think that's the direction. And the Ravid comes along and says, well, what about if he is a... Oh, so if he is a Moel, so you could force him to be Mevater on that Nether, to be Mevatel the Nether, and in order to do Taras Nedarim, in order to... Right, he says, I'm not going to benefit from the Tzibur, so you make him be Mevatel the Nether in order to for him to do Brises. So the Ravid says, wait a second, what's the big deal? Let the guy... not be paid, right? But the guy doesn't want to get enough from the seabor, so we're not going to give you a no, we're not going to pay you. So the Ravid says, no, plus the guy's otherwise, he's a busy guy, he says, I'm not doing it for free. So therefore you make me a matal, and not just that, you could pay him to do the brisa. So you see the concept already exists of this concept. The Aruch HaShulchan records that there were towns in Europe where there were Baruch Hashem a lot of children and there weren't a lot of moelim, and the moelim said, listen, we have so many brises to do, we have our own businesses we need to run, we don't have time. time for all of this. So the Aruch HaShulchan said that the appropriate thing is that you pay them for their time, and that's certainly the modern minhag to pay people brisit, not necessarily for the act of the bris itself, but for the time that is involved in them.
Yeah, there's also, I couldn't figure out where they did it for every bris, but there was a memorial in Chicago many years, I'm talking about Chicago, it was before 1991, Reverend Wolf, and he, when people paid him for the bris, He wrote to this organization,
that
organization.
So. I was listening to Rabbi Rakefich here the other night. He said that there were Moalim who said who wouldn't give brises on Shabbos at all. Because they wanted to make sure they got paid. I mean, this is like 100 years ago in America. Like, we're not going to pay it otherwise, so we're going to do the bris on Sunday. No bris on Shabbos.
You think it's based on